Hebrews chapter number 2, and I'm going to take a text and a title from verse number 3. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says there at the first of the verse, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. As both my text and my title, I want to take those words. How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I preached in the past on when the sun sat down. Of course, the sun sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on High after he had performed that sin-purging work by himself. I dealt also with this subject that the Son is so much better than the angels. He is the only begotten Son. He's the only one that fits in that category, the only begotten Son of God. The angels are ministering spirits. The angels are sent forth to minister to the saints. They are messengers of God to men. They have been, at least in the past, messengers of God to men. There shall be an angel that goes in the tribulation period sending forth the message of the everlasting gospel unto men. The angels are fellow servants of you and I that are saved by the grace of God and serving the Lord. And Jesus Christ is so much better than the angels. There are so many things we may say positive about the angels, but the Son is so much better than the angels. Now, I want you to notice beginning in chapter number 2, and verse number 1. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Now consider that context, the fact that the Son is so much better than the angels. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will." I want you to consider, first of all, as far as the unsaved are concerned, how shall the unsaved escape if they neglect so great a salvation? First of all, let's consider so great salvation, the fullness of it. The fullness of it. What a tremendous subject that is, the fullness of the salvation that you and I that are saved by the grace of God have been recipients of. How can any mortal man comprehend the fullness of the salvation God has given us? How can any mortal man describe the fullness of the salvation that God has given us? First of all, we might consider that salvation from hell to heaven. Consider the tremendous gulf that is between those two and the tremendous contrast between those two. I have been saved from hell, but I have been saved to heaven. When God saved me, He didn't simply put me upon the earth to live forever in a sin-cursed body in a sin-cursed world. When God saved me, He did not put me back in a perfect Garden of Eden where I might once again fall. But when God saved me, He saved me from hell unto heaven. We might consider the horrors of hell. We might consider, of course, the fire of hell, the darkness of hell, the torment of hell, in contrast to the wonders of heaven. Thank God I am saved from hell unto heaven. There is a home prepared for me since I have been redeemed. I've got no concerns about not having a place to go. There is a place prepared for me. The Lord will have me with Jesus Christ. When I leave this world, I'll be with Jesus Christ right on through eternity. And thank the Lord, that is all settled for me. Now, how shall a sinner escape if he neglects so great a salvation? God has offered him to be saved from hell to heaven, but he neglects that. How can you neglect that? If you understand what God is offering you, we might consider the current benefits. It's one thing to talk about the future, but consider the current benefits. The fact that I have an indwelling Holy Spirit, and there are so many things in relationship to that. The Holy Spirit is my comforter. He is my guide. He is my corrector. He is my empower. He is my enabler. He is my intercessor. There are so many blessings that I have because I have an indwelling Holy Spirit. And I believe that everyone that is saved has an indwelling Holy Spirit. And if we'll submit to the will of God, the Holy Spirit will willingly give us joy and peace and love and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness. The Holy Spirit will very willingly guide us the right way. The Holy Spirit will willingly guide us into truth so that we can understand things, have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that we need. There are so many benefits to being saved by the grace of God now. That's one thing to think about. Well, it's a good thing to have eternity settled, but I need help now. And you need help now. You need somebody to show you the way now. And thank the Lord that with the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have one that guides us. Then consider the broken bonds of sin. When I got saved by the grace of God, it was as though it was similar to the situation when the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea. And of course, God divided the Red Sea and let them through. And then when Pharaoh and his army came, they got into the Red Sea and the waters closed upon Pharaoh and his army. When I got saved by the grace of God, the power of sin upon my life was broken. And I don't have to sin. I do not have to willingly and knowingly sin. When God shows me something is wrong, by the grace of God, I can have victory. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to live in victory in Jesus. And it should be, and it could be, that we lived in victory in Jesus every day, every day, every day. Victory in Jesus. The conquest of Canaan in the book of Joshua. Once they got past that time with the Gibeonites and the time with Ai, there were so many victories that they won, and it should be that in our lives it should be victory after victory after victory as we are submitted to God and serving God on this side of eternity. Now, if a person understands some of the things, and not that they will understand it all, but if a person could understand some of the things that God does for the sinner that gets saved, how shall he escape if he neglects so great a salvation? A sinner, of course, and there are so many spiritual things he doesn't understand, but I believe there's been many multitudes of sinners down through the years that had been in contact with an individual that was a sinner like they, was on their hell like they were, and that person got saved by the grace of God. And though they didn't understand it all, they saw there were some good and great changes that took place in that individual's life. Now, you and I are to present the gospel to people so that they may have the opportunity to turn to the Lord. But if a person sees what God is offering them and they refuse, if they neglect so great a salvation, how shall they escape? Then we might consider the employment in God's work. I got saved, and when I got saved, the Lord, of course, gave me that Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave me things that I needed so that I could do the work. God provided me with gifts. God provided me with empowerment. God provided me with direction so that I could be employed in the work of God. In addition to all of that that He has given me on this side of eternity, there are promised rewards for serving the Lord faithfully. Why should I waste my life when I have so much given to me through salvation and as a result of salvation, whereby my life, instead of being a waste, can be used for the honor and glory of God? I believe one of the things that a lost man may realize sometimes is this life is so futile, it's so empty, it's so unsatisfying. And so what? After a while, a person, he may have some goals, he may reach those goals, but after a while, he may come to the point, so what? I've reached that, I've done that, I've had that, so what? As far as a saved person is concerned, it can always be that there are things to look forward to, things to be employed at in the work of God, things that are good and right things. Why should one continue on wasting his life when he could be employed in the work of God? As far as sinners are concerned, how shall they escape if they neglect so great salvation? The fullness of it, the freeness of it. In Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, the freeness of it. How can you turn that down? How could a lost man, if he understood that, how could he turn down the free gift of salvation? The poet gave these words, nothing to pay, no, not a whit. Nothing to do, no, not a bit. All that was needed to do or to pay, Jesus has done in His own blessed way. Thank the Lord. God saved me. I didn't bring anything. God saved me freely. He did the sin purging work by Himself. He didn't need any help from me. I didn't chip in my part. I repented. I trusted Christ and He saved me. Why would anybody turn that down? Why would anybody neglect to take advantage of that opportunity to be saved for eternity, and it's a free salvation? Then, number three, the foreverness of it. Thank the Lord, when I got saved, I got eternal life. Now, I realize a lot of people, they don't believe in eternal life in the way that God teaches eternal life. But when I got saved, the moment I got saved, I got eternal life, saved forever. You just look ahead. Look at all that is in store for you if you are saved by the grace of God. There's the help of God on this side of eternity. There's the rapture, the resurrection of the dead, at the rapture of the church. There's a time when we'll be in heaven with the Lord. There'll be the time of the millennial kingdom here upon the earth. There'll be the moving into the eternal kingdom and the holy city. There are so many things to look forward to, and the bright outlook for my future goes on forever. The foreverness of it. And I got that when I was 19 years old. And I fell on my knees in my bedroom. And I surrendered to my Lord. I got that forever salvation, eternal life. And then, the fathomless cost of it. If somebody realizes the cost that was paid for salvation, why would they turn that down? The fathomless cost of salvation. The word fathom, we may find the word used in relationship to a measurement. For instance, the fathoming of the depth of a body of water. A fathom, from what I understand, is about 6 feet, which I believe for a 6 foot man, the arm stretch, his arm stretch is about 6 feet. His arm span is about 6 feet. And a man might have, in his measuring, in his fathoming how deep water was, he might have, of course, used that natural measurement and been able to measure out, drop a rope, measure out, and come to an approximate measurement of this water is 27 feet, or whatever the case was, as he pulled that out and dropped the line. But the word fathom, from what I understand, also has got the idea of the encompassing of something with the arms. And just as there is the fathom, the outstretched arm, that length there, we may also think about the encompassing something with the arms. And as far as the salvation is concerned and the cost of my salvation, I cannot fathom it. The fact that it cost the blood of Jesus Christ, and God went through that once in history, time where He gave His only begotten Son. There was a virgin birth, and Jesus Christ came forth, and Jesus Christ, of course, lived His life upon the earth. And that one precious Son, that only begotten Son, was given. His blood was shed, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Can you fathom, even if you don't think about so many other things, just the cost? In fact, the Bible speaks about the blood of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. And of course, I believe that Jesus Christ Himself, the great high priest, applied that blood to the mercy seat in heaven, then sat down at the right hand of the Father, having done that sin-purging work all by Himself. Now, if a person understands that Jesus Christ gave Himself, the Father so loved the world that He gave Himself, why would anybody turn that down? When God says, I paid it all, it's free now. If you'll just come to me in repentance and faith, you can have this. How should anybody escape that neglects that? We may talk about good deals, little frivolous things. To us, they may mean a lot at the time because perhaps we saved $10 or $100 or whatever the case. We may talk about good deals. But what about eternal salvation for free? And all that encompasses. How shall the lost man escape if he neglects so great salvation? Then, number two, not only the fact that the salvation itself is great, but how shall the sinner escape if he neglects so great salvation, testified by so great a messenger? In the context here, I believe this is a very important point. The fact that the Son gave the gospel. The Son told us about the salvation. Now, the Bible has spoken about the angels. The angels are ministering spirits, messengers sent from God. And those messengers sent from God, when they brought the Word of God, those messengers were to have been heeded. How much more when the Son brings the message of salvation? And that is exactly what happened. The Son brought the message. Concerning angels, the Bible says that the law was ordained by angels. Galatians 3:19, the Bible says that the law was received by the disposition of angels. Acts 7:53, the Word of God, the word disposition, we might think about it being distributed or being dispensed. And I don't understand all of the details, but somehow angels were involved in that disposition or that dispensing, that giving of the law to those Old Testament individuals. Now certainly, the law was to have been heeded. Regardless of who God used to give it, the law was to have been heeded. Then the fact that God used angels, the mighty beings, the pure beings, the angels, that God had angels take a part in giving the law to men. Oh, that law was to have been heeded And there were severe consequences when men refused to heed the law. Israel, of course, paid a tremendous price, has paid and shall pay a tremendous price because of the rejection of the law and then the rejection of the Son. Now, as far as angels were concerned, we might look, and this is not meant to be exhaustive, but angels, of course, were dispatched to save Lot and his wife and his children from Sodom. An angel was to give, in fact, an angel did give Samson's mother instructions concerning Samson, and she was not to drink wine. Her son was to have been a Nazarite and to have been a deliverer of Israel. Gabriel went to Daniel to give him skill and understanding, and he gave him the 70 weeks prophecy that is found in the book of Daniel. An angel, of course, appeared unto Zacharias. He told about the birth of John the Baptist. Zacharias did not believe the angel, and as a result of not believing the angel, God caused Zacharias to be dumb for a while. Of course, the Lord sent an angel, and he dealt with Mary. He spoke to Mary. He gave Mary the message of the conception of Jesus Christ. There have been so many ways, and once again, this is not meant to be exhaustive, but there have been so many ways that God has used angels to give His Word, to give His messages unto men, and men were to believe what they said, to heed what they said. But they're just angels. Notice, if you will, in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1, Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Then, if you will, notice in chapter number 2, and beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression of disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? I believe the passage is especially referring to the law. Men were to heed the angels when they brought the Word of God regardless, but especially the law. In fact, the law even has given in it penalties for not obeying the law. Now, if there was such a cost, if people refused the law given by angels, how much more if one neglects, rejects the salvation that is spoken by our Lord as He walked upon the face of this earth? We just had John 3:16. If a man can hear John 3:16 with some understanding about what it is about and walk away from that, neglect that. When Jesus Christ Himself gave us John 3:16, that was not just an angel, that was Jesus Himself that gave it to us. How shall a sinner escape if he neglects so great salvation testified of by so great a messenger? And then, how shall the sinner escape that neglects so great salvation confirmed by such great witnesses? Notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse number 3, began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. The word was spoken by the Son. There are eyewitnesses and ear witnesses of the Son that confirm the message of the great salvation. 1 John 1, verses 1, and then verse 3, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." Then it goes on to say, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." John, of course, he touched, he heard, he saw the word of life. And the word of life, of course, is the Son of God. And the word of life is eternal life. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I received the Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. Now, there are those great witnesses. The Apostle Paul, of course, is not living during the time that Christ, or was not one of the disciples when Jesus Christ was upon the earth, and yet he saw him there at that time when he got saved, before he got saved. And then there's the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John and Matthew and Mark, Luke. Go through the list of those that saw Jesus, that heard Jesus, that gave us the messages of Jesus concerning so great salvation. And yet, even more than that, we might consider the fact that the Father, God the Father, was involved bearing witness with signs, wonders, and miracles, and God the Holy Spirit was involved in giving spiritual gifts for confirmation. God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Father, all involved in so great salvation, and the confirmation of so great salvation. And so when you've got those great apostles, when you've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the signs and the wonders and the miracles, how shall the sinner escape if he neglects so great salvation? Neglects. There's a great problem with sinners neglecting. There's a terrible sin of neglect when it comes to salvation. It is insulting to God that men won't even look into so great salvation. I understand that when a man first hears John 3:16 or some other passage, he may be intrigued by it, and yet he may think, "I need to look into this Father." And I think it is understandable for a person, if he is sincere, to desire more information, to understand it more fully. And in fact, so often men need to know more so that they get enough so that they can trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But so many people neglect to look into the matter. It is interesting that in 1 Peter 1:10, the Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Now the Bible speaks about that salvation that the prophets inquired and searched diligently concerning. What did they search? Verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I believe the Old Testament prophets, God told them some about Jesus Christ, the suffering of Jesus Christ, and they looked into it because they wanted to know more about this. But it wasn't just them. The Bible also says in verse number 12, I started out with verse number 10, in verse number 12, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels desire to look into this great salvation. this gospel plan that God has given us, and yet there are so many sinners that neglect to look into it. They may get a hint of it. They may get a whiff of it, so to speak. They may get some understanding of it, but then not go any further and refuse or neglect to look into it. How many people have neglected when they've gotten a gospel tract? They've neglected it. How many people have neglected, for instance, getting a Gospel of John in Romans, or perhaps had a Bible on their shelf and they've neglected it? I came across something recently. Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, some of you have got Bibles with so much dust on them you could write damnation on the cover. How many people have had the truth of the great salvation sitting on the shelf, they neglect to look into it? How shall a man that has been given that escape? How shall there not be consequences? If there were consequences for people that neglected or rejected the word given by angels, how much more the word given by the Son, confirmed by the Father and the Holy Spirit with miracles, wonders, how shall they escape? They shall not escape. And then consider as well, neglecting to accept so great salvation. Sometimes a person may neglect to look into it. Sometimes a person may come to somewhat of an understanding of it, in fact, enough of an understanding of it to accept Jesus Christ, but then neglects to accept it. Who knows how many people down through the ages have thought to themselves, I need to get saved. I need to get this settled. I need to get right. But not right now. Do you recall the situation with Felix? Of course, the Apostle Paul dealt with Felix, and the Scripture says, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." When I have a more convenient season. How many people have gone to hell having put off salvation for a more convenient season, more convenient season, more convenient season, all the way to hell? A man can neglect Christ all the way to hell. How shall they escape? We may hear about some great deal, and then if somebody doesn't go do something about it, if somebody doesn't go buy some of that, we may think, what's wrong with you? You sure missed a deal there. And yet so many people are neglecting the greatest gift ever offered to mankind. Neglecting, neglecting, neglecting. There are so many things that can be ruined by neglect. A farm can be overrun by weeds and become absolutely non-productive as far as fruit through neglect. A person may drift out into sea, a person on a boat or a ship may drift out into sea and be lost at sea because he neglected to keep in the area where he should, but just let himself drift, just neglected. A person that was once wealthy can come to a point of financial ruin by neglect, just neglecting. All a person has to do to go to hell is neglect the great salvation. On the one hand, why should anyone do it? But let us remember that that is a natural thing for men to do, to neglect, neglect, neglect salvation. If some of us were to testify, we may testify, I neglected, I neglected, I neglected, and finally I got saved. Then I want to briefly deal with this thought. for the saved. I've been preaching especially about the unsaved, but for the saved. And I certainly don't think that there's any danger of us losing salvation, but I want you to consider this. How shall we escape consequences if we neglect so great salvation? Number one, how shall we escape some consequences if we neglect to marvel in so great salvation? The Apostle Paul, of course, dealt with the Galatian churches, and he marveled that they were so soon removed unto another gospel, which he said was not another. The Apostle Paul, or Peter, wrote of the kind of a man that had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And the Apostle Peter wrote, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." How much of the time since we have been saved have we neglected to marvel in the wonderful salvation that we have? How many times have we sat in a service and we sung songs about being saved, but it hasn't stirred our hearts and we really haven't been paying much attention to the words, neglecting to marvel in the salvation that we have? This is so great a salvation that there can be consequences to those that are saved, but neglect to marvel in this great salvation that we have. How did the Galatian churches end up like they did? And how could a man ever reach a point that he forgets that he's purged from his old sins? A person may be distracted by the things of this world. A person may be distracted by false doctrine. Instead of concentrating on and marveling in the wonderful, the great salvation that he has. Isn't it something? A person can be saved one day, and at that point, he may have the feeling, "I'm never going to get over this. What a wonderful thing this is." And in just a few days, he may be so discouraged and distracted and doubting. One of the things that you and I could do to keep ourselves fresh in the service of the Lord is don't neglect marveling in so great salvation. Then number two, as far as the saved are concerned, there's a danger in us neglecting to testify of so great salvation. Ezekiel 33, verse number 6, "But if the watchmen see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away, or take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Ezekiel 33, verse number 9, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Of course, Ezekiel was a man who lived during a time when the judgment of God would fall upon the people. He was to have been a watchman. He was to warn the people. And in that case, we might think about physical death. There's a danger that people would die if he didn't warn them. Now, if he warned them and they didn't take heed, and they died, he had delivered his soul. The word soul, you might think about, of course, the thoughts and the emotions a person has from the soul of the man. If Ezekiel warned the people, and one of them was killed because of his iniquity, Ezekiel did not have to feel guilty, sorrow, because he had done his job. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't have been stirred if he saw somebody killed by the enemy, but still, he didn't have to have a guilty sorrow because he had done his part in warning the individual. I'm not going to lose my soul to hell if I warn people or don't warn people. But I don't want to go through life not warning anybody and then realize that I did not warn people and they went to hell. And it's between them and the Lord. In fact, even in this scripture I was dealing with in Ezekiel, the Bible speaks about their iniquity. Each individual shall bear responsibility for his own sin. And people go to hell because they reject Christ. They neglect Christ. So each person shall bear their own responsibility in that sense. But I shall bear a responsibility. Did I warn people? Did I tell people about the great salvation that he gave me? And remember, it is so natural for people to neglect. Maybe put the CD on the shelf. Maybe put the track on the shelf. The Gospel of John and Romans on the shelf. I need to do that. I need to look into this. Neglect. Perhaps if they were reminded, they would look into it. How shall we escape? How shall there not be any consequences if we neglect so great salvation, and especially the unsaved? How shall they escape if they neglect so great salvation? Please stand if you will.